This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio.
Human testing of one of the COVID vaccines has been partially halted until some questions from regulators can be answered. Stock in Inovio Pharmaceuticals fell 28% yesterday, another 5% in pre-market trading now. Now, if we get a vaccine that safely works, another vast project is getting it to people. Distribution involves colossal logistical and fairness issues, which we're covering here from multiple angles. Now to the string of super cold refrigerators that may be needed. Thomas Tighe is CEO of Direct Relief, an accredited distributor of medicines and other medical goods. It's a California-based nonprofit with a focus on getting care to people who can least afford it. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, David. My pleasure.
So we'll see what vaccines get approved, but a couple of the leading candidates require special handling and distribution, and you do this sort of thing.
Yeah, Direct Relief is a nonprofit that is accredited as a drug distributor in all 50 states. So among the things we do throughout the country is handle prescription medications that we provide at no charge, including vaccines and insulin and other therapies that require cold storage and transportation.
So, I mean, you might be tempted to say, let's just go out in front of some college dorms at the end of the semester and collect some old dorm fridges and do it that way. This is not going to work necessarily for the early vaccines.
Right. You know, I think that a couple of the leading candidates there at a lower than typical temperature storage is sort of the guidance that's been provided. And, you know, this, although their vaccines are relatively straightforward, how to handle them, how to store them, it's usually within a temperature range of 2 to 8 degrees Celsius. When you're looking at other products, vaccines that require minus 70 degrees Celsius or minus 20 degrees Celsius, that's a different type of storage, different equipments involved, and the temperature range is important to maintain pursuant to whatever the manufacturers say. So that's certainly adding to the complexity and the fact that it's a new disease that we're trying to address with a vaccine that doesn't yet exist at a temperature range that's outside the norm for the entire country. You know, there are a lot of variables that increase the degree of difficulty involved.
So who has to figure this out? I guess it's you, if you have some role in helping to move vaccines around eventually.
Well, you know, I think that's the question right now. I think the federal government is really managing through Operation Warp Speed, the overseeing the development and the funding and kind of the direction. And obviously the FDA provides that the regulatory framework to make sure that it's safe and efficacious. Direct Relief's role, we often backstop local public health agencies here in California at the state level, at the county level, and in other states during disasters. And there are gaps that exist in the United States on a chronic basis. And that is one of the reasons why Direct Relief exists, to make sure that there is a distribution capacity to get products that are needed by people who, you know, fall into the cracks. And there are often a lot of them, and even more so when there's an emergency that occurs.
So someone's going to have to find and then pay for some kind of refrigeration.
That's right. I think, you know, it's, again, with the ultra-cool vaccine, there's not a national platform for handling the volume that's anticipated for 330-plus million people. So I think in anticipation of building out the cold chain capacity for, you know, storage, distribution, and ultimately administration, I think that's the planning that is going on now at the federal level. But, you know, there's a recognition that what needs to be in place for which scenario at what time frame. And I think a lot of it does involve the cold chain capacity of the country broadly, but then specific locations so that the coverage, you know, is universal, which is ultimately the plan. Recognizing that, you know, there were gaps, even with PPE, which in comparative terms is a relatively easy, low degree of difficulty distribution issue, right? It's not heavily regulated. It doesn't require prescription. It's kind of an article of clothing almost, some of the gloves and gowns and masks and face shields.
I mean, yeah, with vaccines and the cold requirements, that's one thing. But our country has had challenges just getting a hold of and distributing personal protective equipment. And most of that doesn't have to be refrigerated.
And that is one of the, you know, our points of sensitivity. We have observed, as everyone else has, the challenge that came with just the coherent allocation, distribution, provision of PPE for health workers and everyone else. And so with that background, it's sobering to think, you know, that's a relatively low degree of difficulty, I think, in terms of distribution. Many of the same issues, who gets this product at what time, through what method, and in what channel, and how it's recorded, is just much higher when it comes to a vaccine, particularly one that's, you know, being developed on the fly, you know, pushed through all the scientific rigors. But I think the degree of difficulty in handling, administering, record keeping, and tracking is just a different level of complexity. So, you know, we're sensitive to how the challenges that seemed really vexing for us to overcome with respect to PPE. And that gives us a sense of the challenges that, you know, we're looking at with respect to vaccine distribution as well.
Are you confident that the federal government is in fact doing the planning right now, or are you, you know, issuing a call for greater attention to this?
The material that's been issued by the federal government is very good. The strategy is clear. The components are well outlined. But, you know, someone has to do the work. The best laid plans, you know, can be terrific plans, but they have to be executed well. And I think our antenna are focused on how material gets to the people, because the science can be good, but it is of no value if it doesn't ultimately get to the people in an appropriate, safe, secure way that will allow them to you know, derive the benefit, which is the whole intent of the program. And, you know, with our lens focused on the gaps that always exist and the inequities in health that exist chronically, you know, we're concerned that and trying to make sure that there is a distribution capacity that is sensitive and focused on people who are often left out of the mix for the basics. As a public benefit nonprofit, of course, we're going to pitch in and do anything we can to backstop the federal agencies, the state agencies, or the local health agencies, because they are clearly overwhelmed. You know, they have concurrent emergencies. The pandemic is one thing, but with the hurricanes and historic storms in the South, the historic fires out in the West, they're not set up to do what they're being expected to do.
Thomas Tighe is president and CEO of Direct Relief, a nonprofit distributor of medical supplies and medicines. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, David. Thank you very much.